Oh,
welcome back. We are here talking weddings, of all things. Alison Keating, psychologist, and Ray O'Neill, psychoanalyst, is here. Good to see you guys. So yeah, Ray, we were talking the last time we met. You were getting married,
and I was getting married.
That was a year ago.
That's right.
And have you turned around and gone like, we are so blessed that it wasn't this year?
Well, I have to say, you know, very fortunate, and I really feel for anyone, particularly people that have put so much thought and planning, and thinking of a couple of friends of mine in particular. Look, guys, you'll get through it, what I say. But what about that first, what a strange first year of marriage to have.
Did you think you were going to get to your 1 year anniversary? There was a time I thought. That's kind of what I wanted to talk to you guys about as well, in terms of your careers and your line of work and how stressful that whole lockdown period was for couples. And was the phone ringing off the hook? And were there just emails after emails in terms of people looking for consultations?
Yeah, it was really hard for people. And I think it still is, but in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, now people are looking forward, going, what's next? But I suppose this plan's been put in place.
Yeah.
But for couples and for families, from the kind of the normal situation to really serious situations, it was a really tough time.
I don't think anybody got out and escaped. I mean, I have to say it took, because myself and Pork were both working from home and both businesses going, you know, we didn't know what was going on. No childcare. And it took us, I would say, 4 to 5 weeks for us to actually figure out how in the name of God we were going to do this, you know. And then there's just something clicked. We kind of figured out the compromises, who was going to work when, who was going to work late in the evening. And then it was, you know, not going to say plain sailing, but we just found our groove. But it took that long.
I think it definitely took that. People come back to me. I remember around 6 weeks, people have kind of found their way. It was like, okay, like this is the way it is. And instead of sharing out the kind of the parental responsibilities, you know, who's on schoolwork today, who's actually working and divvying it all up. And for couples and families, it was a very challenging and interesting time, but maybe in some ways it's been good. I think a lot of interesting conversations or arguments have happened.
Totally. Well, I think certainly compromise. I've learned what compromise is now in a way that I probably would have been accused of not knowing before, you know.
And I think that was bless, I was cocooning with my partner, my sister, and my dad, and loved them all
I
know.
Oh my God.
Loved them all dearly, but I'm sure that they were all very happy to see the back of us when they headed off. Because, you know, it was just so unnatural to be stuck in a situation. And so well done to anyone who has managed and is still struggling through all of this. Because even in normal times, this corona thing, you know, the living together would have been just so exhausting. But we're still in such an unknown around what. So well done to anyone who's muddling through. I think muddling sometimes is the best.
Okay. Listen, we'll get through a couple of these questions. Just because we were talking about weddings there, I'll just get to this one. My partner proposed to me in July 2018. We're both mature people. I'm divorced and he's a widower, so I assumed we'd just have a low-key wedding. But since then, he's never mentioned the wedding or even hinted at any timescale. If anything, we're seeing less of each other. He still has his own property and friends and spends a lot of time on his hobbies, sailing and birdwatching. I'm reluctant to say anything because I don't want to force him into a corner. My two daughters say I'm a coward and he's using me. What should I do? I just don't know.
I think in that situation, I'm conscious the strangeness of the situation we've been. So everyone probably hasn't, you know, things haven't been normal. People who aren't in the same cocoon didn't see as much of each other as they might have done. You have to talk to them. It's interesting that the daughters are kind of suspicious, but that might be their suspicion. I mean, this is an Irish man, and I hate to say, but we're not great at the old wedding planning, as I learned.
There was I talking to Sean Boylan before the break, and he turned around to his wife Tina back in the day, and she said she was going off to Australia, and he said, Asher, stick around for a bit. And she said, are you asking me to marry you? That was how it was.
Romance.
Exactly.
And again, particularly for people that have been there before, you know, maybe you don't want to make a big deal of it. You just have to sit down and just check in with them. Not with a pressure, not with some kind of bridezilla agenda, but it's just like, look, what's going on?
And
what
the thing
would you
is,
like to do?
Alison, it's July 2018. Yeah. So it wasn't like it was just pre-COVID or it just wasn't Christmas. This was a long time ago. And obviously, you know, if he's had a change of heart by then, it must or should have become apparent by then between the two of them.
I think just there's a sense of disconnection between the two of them. Like, it's 2 years ago and he said it, but it's not about kind of the pressure of getting married, but there has to be some conversation, even that she just assumed it would be a low-key thing, but they haven't talked about it at all. So are they living parallel lives? Are they kind of living, you know, are they feeling connected? Is she, how is she feeling in the relationship? It might be even more than just about getting married, but does she feel that they're kind of in it together? And is the commitment there now? So, I mean, like Ray's saying, they definitely need a long overdue conversation.
In a way, coming in just saying, well, thank crunchy we didn't plan the wedding for this year with everything. And that starts the conversation, but it's not a, you know, finger drumming, I need to be married by Christmas conversation. We have to not be afraid to have difficult conversations because that's what makes a relationship a relationship.
It's interesting, though, that she says, if anything, we're seeing less of each other.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of it. You know, if there's a communication breakdown like that and there's a distance forming, you need to address it and really look at it, because it sounds like it's going left and right as opposed to together.
Yeah. It does,
you know?
Yeah.
Okay, every year my sister-in-law gives my two sons really terrible presents for Christmas and birthdays. I always buy her sons something nice, and once she even regifted those presents to us. This meanness makes me so angry. I fear that if I try to say anything, I'll lose my temper and go over the top. I'm desperate not to fall out with her for the sake of my mother-in-law, who is very ill, and also my husband, who does not get on very well with her. But how am I supposed to handle it?
Ooh.
Oh.
Run.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Like, sometimes you have to decide and pick your fights, do you know? I think presents carry a huge psychological power in them, and they do indicate the level, the friendship, the relationships that is at. So maybe she can just take that as a given. Although some people, presents don't mean that much to them either. It's interesting in families, like some families are very much about presents and other families aren't. And sometimes we take that kind of inherent, like, oh, they're not putting any thought or effort into this as a personal insult. Whereas maybe for this other person, they just don't give a toss about presents at all. Now, look, they have eyes that they can see that there possibly is a vast difference, but maybe they can't. So I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt. I'm wondering, is it worth a conversation if she knows she's going to get angry beforehand? Is this one where she kind of sees, well, this is where our relationship's at? I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't have, I'm totally all for difficult conversations, but there are ones sometimes where you're going to hit your head off a brick wall. So I don't know.
And again, I just picking up on what you said, there are people who are present people and people who are not present people. And it sounds like there's animosity anyway between with her husband, that they don't seem to get on. So the question is it being done deliberately, which this lady seems to think it is. And I suppose that's kind of, you can't jump to conclusions. By the sounds of it, it is.
But again, what I would say, if that's true and there is animosity and there is a nastiness to it, then just take it all out of the equation. If someone is going to keep disappointing you, then stop giving them the opportunity to disappoint you. And just say, listen, this year, look, don't worry about it at all. We've got it sorted. He already has so many things, or Christmas, or why don't you give something to charity? Just take, because you're just setting both of you up for disappointment and failure. So take the higher ground and take the presents off the list.
Okay.
If it's that painful.
I know, but as an aunt, you want to give nice presents to your nieces and nephews, you know. I mean, if there's two boys here, she obviously wants to. But it sounds like a bit of one-upmanship, doesn't it? A kind of, anyway, okay. Our 22-year-old daughter hasn't eaten meat for 3 years and wants the whole family to become vegetarian. I respect her decision, but don't feel ready to change my diet. Well, don't. She's only 22. End of. Sorry, no, I'll get to the end of it. Unfortunately, this is leading to endless rows in our house. Her latest assault is to declare our kitchen dirty for housing animal products. She says she won't eat anything that has been cooked in our contaminated fridge or cooked in our infected cooker. Her father and brother are very upset and fed up the endless rows, and this has become worse during lockdown. How do I deal with this friction? Sorry, I shouldn't have.
Well, you kind of named him, Catherine. I like it.
I mean, but that just, it's again going back to the difficulty of families living in lockdown together and what will come up. And then it's just in such close, everything is so heightened.
I think us three potentially are of that generation where children were seen and not heard.
Yeah.
And that came with its own problems and complications. But, you know, sometimes children need to be not listened to and heard completely. You know, as adults and parents, you have the right to say, no, she's 22. She's not happy in that house and that contaminated fridge. There's something she can do about that.
Mm.
But it's called compromise.
Mm. What about you, Alison?
This is one I saw a lot during lockdown. And again, because in other situations you would have gone out, the vegetarian might have gone out and had food somewhere else, and you weren't having breakfast, lunch, dinner and every snack, you know, in the contaminated fridge. So I think it's just, again, down to family values and everyone setting up their own boundaries. And like Ray's saying, you know, that it's the parents' house, genuinely. It's very hard for adult children to live in the parents' house, but it still is their house. So it's about, honestly, this sounds ridiculous, but she could buy a small fridge. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and have your own
thing. But it's not fair. If they're your beliefs, that's fine, but you can't shove them down someone else's throat either.
Okay. I'll just finish on a text here that came in, because we were talking about parents sending their kids off travelling independently for the first time, and this just goes to show a different age, which I suppose is what we're talking about. My youngest, Suzanne, was 12. I sent her to Boston from Dublin unaccompanied. I can't believe I did it. Now, to make matters worse, the flight stopped over at Shannon and she had to go through immigration. I wrote in the form she needed that I had given permission to go. You're not even supposed to put any writing in that other than in the official section. She was going over for a sailing event, but even think of it now, I cannot believe I did it. After getting off the flight, she had to find her contact in the arrivals hall by herself. I cringe at the thought of it. It goes to show it's a different time. Anyway, that comes in. Thank you for that, Caroline. That is all we have time for today, guys. Thank you so much for coming in. Great to see you. Mary Wilson is on Drive Time coming up next. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.